Certainly have enjoyed the services that we've had thus far. I've enjoyed the singing, the fellowship. I've enjoyed the preaching of the gospel. It's just been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will bless us this afternoon as we've gathered together. I just was uplifted this morning in hearing about the defense of the Word of God, the power of God, the truth of God, and the various different aspects that we're drawn from. I'm just so thankful for the preaching of the gospel. I'm thankful for these ministers of the gospel, and I would encourage you to unfailingly pray for the men of God. Unfailingly pray for your pastor. They need your prayers. They need your support every single day. You know, they may get up here and they may have served you for a long time, and they may get up Sunday after Sunday or Sunday morning, Sunday night, however often it may be, and you may feel like, well, he's got it. He can preach. Brothers and sisters, he needs the grace of God every single time he stands before the people of God, and he needs the grace of God every single day between the times that he stands before God's people. I think these ministering brethren will readily acknowledge that reality. So I've enjoyed that. That has gone before. I want to turn to the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm, and I want to start in the 25th verse. And don't know how far we'll go here, but we'll just start in the 25th verse. And we heard some preaching this morning about having been born again of the Spirit of God, having had that faith given unto us by which we believe upon the Son of God, that we have a desire to continue therein. We have a desire to walk in that way. Well, brothers and sisters, certainly the psalmist David desired to walk in the ways of the Lord. He desired to follow the Lord. But we also know that David had a lot of ups and downs throughout the course of his life. We find in this psalm and in a lot of other places, but just in a few places here, that what does the psalmist David do? Now, he does cast himself upon the Lord. He knew that he had been blessed of the Lord for the Spirit of his Son to be sent into his heart by which he cried, Abba Father. But brothers and sisters, from that day forward, as I pray it is with us, we continue to cry, Abba Father. We continue to desire unto God, because we can't take a step this morning, at noon, or this afternoon, or tonight, without the grace and the mercy of God. And that's exactly what David prays for in these verses that we would like to consider. For he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. How many times in our lives do we felt to be the dust, walking in the dust, just cast down into the dust? And what did he desire? Unto the Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. David was born again already of the Spirit of God. He's not talking about, I want to be born again. He's talking about that he desires that the Lord would enliven him, stir him up, encourage him, move within him with a desire to walk in his ways, to serve him, to glorify his great and holy name. And he prays this prayer that God would quicken him, what? According to thy word. According to God's word, according to God's will, according to God's testimony, according to God's work in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't by David's will that he was looking at. It wasn't to David's strength that he was thinking about. We don't look to that we are in and of ourselves. We don't desire that God would move within our life and deal with us according to what we are in and of ourselves. But oh, brothers and sisters, we desire that God deals with us according to his own will and purpose, that he has purposed for us in Jesus Christ, just like he says over here in the book of Ephesians. See, in Ephesians 1, these are some of the things that we would pray that prayer, quicken me according to thy word. What are some of the words here that are said in Ephesians 1? You're familiar with these. In Ephesians 1, what are some of those according to's in here? According to thy word. And what is it saying here in this great chapter of Ephesians 1 where it talks about our choice, our predestination, our adoption, our acceptance, our redemption, the knowledge of his will made known unto us, our inheritance. But what are all of these things? They are according to the good pleasure of his will. They are according to the riches of his grace. They are according to his good pleasure, which he, God, has purposed in himself. Not in us, in himself. He says, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is what David, that's the quickening power that David desired in his life. And that we desire in our life, that as God moves in our life, that he moves in our life according to that purpose and that grace that he has purposed for us from before the foundation of the world. That's how we desire the moving power of God to be in our lives. And that's what David said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me, enliven me according to thy word." It says, "I have declared my ways," back over in Psalms 119. "I've declared my ways, and thou heardest me." Now, whether David here was talking about declaring his ways and terms, and he talks later about that, about his desire to serve the Lord, "and I declared my desires unto thee, and you heard my cry," or whether he's tying in with me and cleaving unto the dust earlier, that he acknowledges the weakness of his ways, the shortcomings of his ways, the faultiness of his ways, and then he cries up unto the Lord, and God be praised that God's ears are open unto the righteous. They're open unto God's people. The people that are righteous in Jesus Christ, his ears are open unto us. He hears our cry, and he says unto him, "Teach," or praise unto God, "teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy principles. Teach me thy ways." And he's going to use various different terms throughout here, talking about the ways and statutes and precepts and principles of God. So he says, "Teach me thy statutes." Then he goes right on into the 27th verse, and it says this, "Make me to understand the way of thy precept. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Make me to understand. Now, as we go through these verses, I want you to notice, if you haven't already, just the strong affirmative action statements that David is making here. I mean, this is not a wishy-washy prayer unto God. One other brother talked about some confidence that we had in God, some boldness that we had in God. Here's David cleaving unto the dust, acknowledging the shortcomings of his ways, but yet in the midst of that, he has a great boldness, a great confidence, and when it comes unto God, he is very clearly and boldly saying, "Quicken me, teach me, to understand thy precepts, the way of thy precepts." Let's talk about that just a little bit, that particular phrase, a little bit on my mind more so. And as we think about that, the way of thy precepts, not just the bare letter of the word, but the spirit and the power of the word. Now, what is the basis upon which the precepts of God rest? Think about this now. How is it that we turn to the word of God and we read an instruction, we read a teaching, and how do we understand what is the way of that? Where does the power come from? Where is the force behind the precept or the statute that God would lay down within his word? Well, I'm going to go over to the book of Ephesians again and just briefly consider that. There's a lot of places you could go, but let's just go and consider it in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, we find what? We find that there are six chapters in this book. But in the first three chapters of this six, we find that there is a foundation laid unto us of the doctrinal truth of our salvation by grace. You know, sometimes people talk about, well, let's preach doctrine, let's preach practice, let's preach doctor, theology, let's preach practical things. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit how we need to teach the people of God and how we need to receive it ourselves and how we need to read it ourselves, how we need to take it ourselves. Brothers and sisters, you cannot walk in the precepts of God until you understand the salvation of God. Do you understand the work of Jesus Christ? Do you understand the power of that work in our lives? And that's exactly what we find in Ephesians, a lot of other letters that are written under the churches as well. It lays down the doctrinal reality first. Look at Romans, look at Philippians, look at Colossians, look at the others. You can look at those. But he does that here. With the first three books, generally speaking, he lays down those doctrinal truths. But then in the fourth chapter, he begins to take a turn with the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapter and begins to talk about a practical application of those truths in our lives as we live that out. So we live it out. But what I really want to point out to you, though, is even though the last three chapters are firmly founded upon the first three chapters, the last three chapters have intermixed in it still those doctrinal truths of our salvation. The grace of God as it works in our life. So in other words, brothers and sisters, there's no either or, either doctrine or practice. They walk hand in hand. They go together. You can't separate it out and say, well, let's do one or the other. It's all together, brothers and sisters. If we're born again in the Spirit of God, we have a desire to serve God and to walk in His ways and to walk in those things. If we have a desire to walk in those ways, then we need to have it firmly founded upon the personal work of Jesus Christ, the salvation of God, the works of God, who God is, the Trinity of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God. All of those things are things upon which we need to walk. Now, what does it say here in Ephesians 4:1? It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, brothers and sisters, God does not call upon us in His Word anywhere to walk is that we are not. Let me just say that again to make sure you got it. We are not called upon as the people of God, by God, to walk as something that we're not. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're called to walk as that we are. So when it says to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, it's saying to walk worthy of that you are. To walk worthy of that you are as a child of grace, saved by grace, born again of the Spirit of God. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's why it says, I therefore, in the light of the truths and the reality of your salvation that I've expounded upon you in the first three chapters, you walk worthy of that vocation wherewith you are called. What worthy of that you are. And you can just go down through here and you look at some examples, and I would just challenge you, particularly in the New Testament, I would challenge you as you read the New Testament precepts, as you might read those in the future, just go up a few verses or down a few verses, and sometimes within the same verse, you will find the doctrinal foundation of that precept. That's why, brothers and sisters, the precepts of God is not a hard, cold law to the people of God. They are living principles that have been put into our hearts and minds. And they live and rest upon the doctrinal realities of our salvation in Christ. That's where the power is, brothers and sisters. That's where the power of the service is. So you're not just, it's not just an outward doing of the thing. The outward doing of the thing is a glory unto God when it is based upon the inward reality of who you are in Jesus Christ. That's how God is glorified. That's how we glorify God. To glorify is to put on display, to manifest. And for you as a child of God to manifest the glory of God, to do that means that you are walking and serving God in the power of who you are as a child of God. Amen. It's not that you within yourself just walked over here and said, well, I've decided to go to church today, or I've decided to pray, or I've decided to read the Bible, or if I've decided to do this, that, or the other. No, brothers and sisters, this is talking about us firmly upon the power and the work of Jesus Christ serving God and praising His great and holy name. Well, let's just look at a couple examples. Try to get too far out of here, but in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and the brother mentioned that this morning, I think, Now, where it talks about in the 22nd verse, it says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lies, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. The brother mentioned that. We as the children of God, we need to put off the old man. We need to put on the new man. Well, I mean, how are you going to do that? How are you just going to take that up? How are you just going to go over your head and say, well, I'm just going to put all this off, and I'm going to put all that on? Well, then, sisters, the rest of this verse tells us, the 24th verse, as it tells us what that new man is and where that new man's come from and the power of that, which it says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Right. So, brothers and sisters, it's not just coming up again. It's not us standing over here saying, well, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. Sometimes children of God try to do that, don't we? Sometimes we just say, well, I'm just going to start doing that. Doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. You'll find by and by you're going to slip and stumble. You're not going to be able to keep it up. You're not going to be able to maintain it. Why? Because it's you're doing it. You're doing it in your own power and in your own strength. But brothers and sisters, when we realize that we are and that has been wrought within us is that has been created by God first. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. Created by God in righteousness. How are we righteous? The brother talked about justification this morning. How are we declared as righteous before God? It is in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? Brothers and sisters, how do we stand before God as holy? You know, we don't talk about that as much, the holiness as much as we do about the righteousness. But brothers and sisters, we were chosen in Christ to be holy and without blame before Him in love. So we are righteous before God, and we're also holy before God. How are we holy before God? We're holy before God in the holiness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, it calls us to put on that do we are in Christ. Put on the new man. Put off that is not of that is in Jesus Christ. That is of that former life and that former pattern of walk. Put off those things. Put on that you are in Jesus Christ. 25th verse. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. You got one of the Ten Commandments. Just don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't lie to one another. That's a very simple commandment within itself, just in terms of don't lie. But what is the power of that unto us as the people of God? For we are members one of another. We're all a body of believers. So as we live together and we walk together, particularly as the local assembly, it's like lying to yourself. Sometimes people do that, but it's like lying to yourself. So you see, the foundation of that principle, that precept, don't lie. For us as the children of God, walking together as the people of God, has the foundation and basis upon it of, don't do that, for we are members one of another. Well, let's go on down. See what it says in the 31st verse and the 32nd verse. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. See, these are all principles that we ought to walk in. These are precepts. David prayed over here that the Lord would teach him the way of the precepts. So may God come into our hearts and souls, and we pray that God would open up our hearts and souls, that we would see His precept. You know, teach me thy statutes. Right. Put away the bitterness and the wrath and the anger. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another. But not only that we would see the precept itself, or the statute itself, but the way of it. The way of it. What is the way of this precept? Even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. That's the power of being able to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving one to another, is in the power of the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. So the precepts of God are not just a list. They're not just out here as a cold, hard thing. They are living principles within us as they rest upon the power of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is, if you are blessed, teach me thy statutes, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Encompassed in that is that God would make us to understand how that we're, in this case, how that we are forgiven in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if your heart is filled with the forgiveness that you have in God, it is going to be very difficult for you to have aught against your brother.
Amen. Amen.
Very difficult. If the power of that is within you, it's going to be very difficult to have that. You could just go on. And then just, like I said, I would challenge you at some point just to continue on in that thought as you may read in the scriptures and how it just goes. The fifth chapter, the first verse begins out and it says, still in Ephesians, be ye therefore followers of God. We ought to follow God, follow the principles of God, the teachings of God. But who is he calling upon? As dear children. As the children of God. He's calling upon us to be followers of God. He's not calling upon us to be something that we're not. But to follow that we are. As the children of God. Walk in love. Love one another. How? As Christ has loved us. Not only has he loved us, but he's given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. On and on and on, brother and sister. You can see the way of the precepts of God. As it is laid down up to us, that we may walk in his ways. So David goes again, make me to understand, back in Psalms 119, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. No wonder, would you not, if you're made to understand the ways of the precepts of God and how that is based firmly upon the foundation of God and his salvation and of Christ and of the power of that and the movement of that of the Holy Spirit in our lives, would not that cause you then to talk of the wondrous works of God? He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. The weight and the burdens we care. I believe Brother Taylor was talking about that, about the children of Israel being under the weight and the burdens and the cares. But as you come and you're melted for that, just weighted down, just like you're under great weight. But he cries unto God, strengthen thou me according to thy word. Strengthen again according to the word of God. New Testament prayers over there would say according to the riches of the glory. According to the working of the mighty power. According to God's power. We desire to be strengthened. Not according to our power, but the strength of God. He goes on down through here. I just want to move on out of the way. It says, remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen that way. Listen to these next verses. Now that David is desires with positive affirmation to take hold of the things of God. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments I have laid before me. I am stuck unto thy testimonies. I'm glued to them. Hold fast to them. I'm stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Put me not to shame. Oh, how much we then in need of the mercy and the grace of God, the strengthening of God, the God holding us up. It talks about here in some later verses we won't get to, where it says, he cries, hold me, Lord. Hold me up with thy right hand. We need that, brothers and sisters. The brother talked this morning about how frail we are and how easy it is for us to slip, how easy it is for us to get mad. I appreciated the brother acknowledging that. You know, we need that. We need to hear from other people the struggles that they have. And I appreciate him saying he won't take his Bible upside the head. And that's sometimes how we do. You know, we get so bad, we'll take what we think is right and beat somebody over the head with it. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to pray unto the Lord. Lord, and this is why he's crying out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Having a heart for God. See, that's what a heart for his principles, a heart for his truth, a heart for the great work of salvation within our heart and soul. That's why he's praised over there in the book of Ephesians. I believe it again in the third chapter. Now it talks about that we may know the breadth and the height and the depth and the width, that God would richly dwell in our hearts. I think as Christ will richly dwell. That our hearts would be overflowing. If your heart is overflowing with the things of God and of Christ and of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of those things, then you have a desire to run the way of his commandments. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Again, teach. Next verse, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. An understanding of the principles of God, the ways of God, the teachings of God. For God to bless us to understand. I just want to read through the rest of these because they have such affirmative statements. He says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. for therein do I delight. Incline my heart. That's the next thing. Now incline my heart. You know, we have still that old sinful nature within us, like the Apostle Paul talked about. He said, that I would, I do not. And that I would not, that I do. And he had a prayer that God would incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. You know, earlier he said, quicken thou me according to thy word. Now he says, quicken me in thy righteousness. In that righteousness of Jesus Christ. In the power and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Quicken me and liven me unto thy service and unto thy will. Well, I just want to read again as we've read those verses. Again, just to think about the strong positive statements that are made by David. And by the way, just to quickly think about this, you can go over and read these later. But if you go over and you think about the prayer that the Lord gave unto us in the Sermon on the Mount, what do you find in there? Christ teaching us those positive things we say. Give us this day. I mean, it's not even, Lord, please give me, or Lord, help me, or work in me, or whatever, you know, kind of help me along the way. No, these are strong, positive, clear statements. Give us this day our daily bread. And I don't think it goes too far to say that that's not only our natural nourishment, but our spiritual nourishment. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I mean, these are strong, clear statements. Same thing we'll find in Psalms 23. You know, that's another one, people. But listen to the strong statements that are made in there. He leadeth me. He maketh me. These are strong, clear statements that are made. And what do we find here in these verses? Prayer unto God as we come before Him, desiring His power within our lives. Let's just look at just the words again, these verbs, these action words, powerful. He says, quicken, teach, make, strengthen, remove, grant, put, enlarge, teach, give, make, incline, turn, establish, turn, quicken. These are strong statements that David is praying unto the Lord that He would move mightily in his life as he had a desire to get up and to serve the Lord God each and every day. May we, brothers and sisters, as David, have a desire to serve that Lord, and in that desire, then we need to cast ourselves upon the Lord and pray unto Him that He would move mightily in our lives with these strong statements. Go boldly unto Him, boldly unto the throne of grace, pleading unto Him for the power to be manifested in your life.